Good morning. 11:33 a.m. on Thursday, February the 27th, 2020. Aloha. It's a lovely spring morning. It's a bit blustery today. Temperatures in the 40s somewhere. I put 44 on the picture. And the wind. In the wind, it feels a hell of a lot colder. But in the sun, it feels really a lot warmer. So be that as it may, it's February the 27th. It's a relatively pleasant Thursday morning still. Just barely, but still. I got my words in. I did a grocery run. I got going on time this morning. I got going early. I got going at 7 o'clock and got the words out. Cranking on it. And I'm coming up to the end of Dark Knight Station Origin. And whether or not I'm going to have a volume 2, I don't know. I don't think so. But I suspect it's going to have a lot to do with whether or not people want more of this story or if they want a different origin story. I have to think. Well, no, I don't have to think. What I have to do is keep writing and finish this book and get on and finish Troy Harbor and let that happen and get this book out to beta readers to see what all y'all think, if it needs another book or not. I'm not convinced it does. At one point, I thought it might. Part of me is also thinking, okay, this place is a shambles. It might be interesting to watch it get rebuilt. So, spoiler alert. The station is a wreck. I had to put my hood back. I built up too much heat inside. I'm gonna unzip my hoodie even a little bit. Oh, I'm getting dazzled by, there's a street light with a shiny cap on it, and it's just in the right angle to, I glanced up and I got the sun glare right in my eyes. What am I thinking about this morning? I'm thinking about, this is a Facebook post. Another Guardian, the UK Guardian, article about how writing is dying, literature is dying, authors can't make a living anymore, yada, 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 yada. And a couple of my writer friends picked it up, and it was showing up in my stream, and I had to respond to it. It was like, the whole premise of this is dumb. The whole premise of this article is dumb. Writing isn't dying. Writers have, by and large, been artists from the beginning, and very few of them ever made a living at it. There's a reason the old chestnut is, don't quit your day job. Yeah, don't quit your day job. Why wouldn't you quit your day job? Because you can't make a living writing. The number of people who have been up through the system for the last 40 years have lived, don't quit your day job. If you were in the system, if you were a trad pub, if you were a mid-lister or an occasional publisher, you couldn't quit your day job. Back in the 30s and the 40s, the pulp authors, that was their day job. And they were being paid only half as much as current authors get paid for their serialized work. But their living expenses were less than a quarter. So yeah, that was their day job. That was what they did. That was how they made a living. But they were publishing a book a week. Even had a book a month. I'm like, come on, folks. Go with the program. Take a step back from the chicken littles who seem to want people to think that, oh dear, Amazon is killing publishing, and therefore we will no longer ever have good books again. Bullshit. It's the kind of stuff that just drives me crazy. And they trotted out, well, I'll give them credit. I will give Guardian credit. Give the Guardian credit. They didn't trot out the average, the mean. They trotted out the median. And the median earning of authors is $6,000, and that's down from $10,000. And I'm going, wow, that's a lot higher than I thought. Because for every person who earns zero, there is an author who's earning more than $6,000 a year. Let this guy go. And I'm going, you know, that's pretty good, because there are probably thousands of authors who are earning zero or next to it. Which means there are thousands and thousands of authors who are earning more than $6,000 a year. Holy crap. That's pretty good. Now, I realize that the reality of that is that the statistic is sadly skewed, because it only counts the books that have been published. It doesn't count the writers who have never been able to get an agent, or the agent has never been able to sell the manuscript. It doesn't count the thousands of authors who are self-publishing. The tens of thousands of authors who are self-publishing. But the idea is that the main complaint of the article was that there are all these people wandering around saying they're full-time writers. When they're not. They're not full-time writers. They can't support themselves writing. Which is a curious statement on its face. Because the support for this is that most of them have spouses who are working and paying their health insurance and helping them cover the rent. And they wouldn't be able to do the writing if it weren't for their spouse, their partner, their day job, whatever it is. And I'm walking along here this morning, and I think about this, and it's getting madder and madder and madder. It's like, so if I'm an accountant, say, and my partner is a teacher, say, and neither one of us makes enough to earn a living to support ourselves and our two kids, then I can't really call myself a full-time teacher, because I rely on my partner's income. And my partner can't call himself a full-time accountant, because he relies on the income from his partner or her partner or whatever. I've completely lost the narrative here. But the point is that if the only way you can be full-time something is if you're the sole income and provider for your family unit, then nobody, well, not all, but almost nobody is a full-time anything. There are so few households in, at least in the U.S., I don't know other places in the world, but at least in the U.S., there are so few households that are not two-earner households, that do not have two incomes, and sometimes three or four, in order to make ends meet. And by this logic, if I can't be a full-time author, a full-time writer, unless I support my family entirely, then nobody is a full-time. Nobody is full-time. It's a stupid premise. And it irks me. I don't know why it irks me, but it irks me. Probably because I'm coming up on it. A few more steps. Get ready. Say it with me. Monk post. Probably because it's the legacy publishing narrative that the indies are destroying it for everybody. The indies are destroying it for all the legitimate writers. The indies are Amazon is destroying it for the publishers. And it's just, and I've said it before, I'll probably say it like 1,000 times before now, before I'm done. Publishing is destroying itself. And I'm grateful because they're being really stupid, which allows me to make a really comfortable living for my entire household. On the money that they're just leaving on the table. On the crumbs that fall off because they're being stupid. Hell, there's whole slices of bread falling off. So, it's like, I know why The Guardian does it. They do it because there are millions of writers out there who will read that thing and then share it with everyone to say, see how bad it is? See how terrible it is? See what I'm up against? No one appreciates me. No one likes my art. No one... Yeah, fine. The problem is, it's not normally distributed. Sales, earnings, audience, none of it is normally distributed. So a few people at the top are going to make the most. And in that aspect, it's actually a good model for the economy as a whole. A few people at the top are going to make the most. Unlike the regular economy, the few people at the top aren't taking out all of the available money in the market. So it doesn't matter how many books Stephen King sells, how many copies, how many units, how much money goes to whoever his current publisher is. I think it's Macmillan. It might be Random Penguin House. I don't know. But no matter how much money they take out of the market, it's a big number. He takes a big number. He takes a lot of it. Clive Cussler, rest his soul. His estate will now take a lot of it. Nora Roberts takes a lot of it. You know, fill in blank. Dan Brown takes a lot of it. Fine. It doesn't drain it. It's not being drained. People are not buying self-published books because they spent all their money on Dan Brown. They're not buying self-published books because they like Dan Brown's books. They might like self-published books too, but they're not... They're not draining their resources in order to buy Dan Brown. Although I suppose a few are. Most of them will be able to get it from the library eventually. If you put your blinker light on sooner, mister, I would have let you go by sooner. So this whole idea of small pie thinking, and it's not like P-I, but P-I-E. It's like the pie is only so big, and as soon as the pie gets eaten, nobody else gets a slice. Man. Now, I grant you, there were probably only something between half a billion and three quarters of a billion English-speaking people in the world. And I suspect more than half of them live in such poverty that they're not reading books. They're trying to find food. That's still a quarter of a million people. A quarter of a billion people reading English. And even if they only read a book a month, that's a quarter of a billion books a year. It's more than that, it's 12 times. Macmillan needs to sell 100,000 units in 90 days. I need to sell 20,000 units in a year. That's my budget anyway. I sell more than that, but that's all I need to sell is 20,000 units in a year. Call 24, so I need to sell 2,000 books a month. Or the page read equivalent. Now that's my household budget. That's all I have to sell. In a year. And I am blessed. I am privileged. I am lucky that I do sell more than that. But the idea that it's impossible to do, the idea that it's becoming more and more difficult to do, the idea that the sky is falling, that art is failing, that literature is no more, that whatever chicken little bullshit, little chicken shit. Chicken little shit. There's a phrase there. I'll come up with it eventually, but it will probably be long after I get off the sidewalk. But anyway, the whole point of that is that this is such it's such a dumb argument. I don't understand why more people don't see it as being a... Wow, that's brisk. Try to protect the... Just stepped into the full brunt of the wind and try to cover it with my hand. Cover the microphone. But I don't really understand why so many authors are unable to parse through this kind of silliness. Makes me wonder if I'm missing something. Maybe it's not silly. Maybe it's the reality, and my privilege is blinding me to the snowball that's coming at me down the hill, or that there's some other kind of systemic issue arising that my privilege protects me from even seeing, let alone considering. It's entirely likely that this next year will be a bust. I'm going to write a lot of books. I'm really excited. I've really got a lot of books ready to go, or almost ready to go, in the pipeline. And while it is a little bit harder for me to deal with the, I think I've at least for the moment put a brake on the burnout. I'm feeling really quite good. I've had a couple of afternoons off. I've done some good work. Caught up on some of the tasks that were hanging fire. And boy, there's nothing like getting a task done, getting it off your plate to make you feel better. Getting the paperback of Cape Grace off my table was a big one. But anyway, I step in under the wind. I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.